This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Bulls are off and running, and Dan and Jason Bernstein are here to keep you up to date with the Stampede. You're listening to Organizations Win Championships.
This is episode Lucky 13 of the Organizations Win Championships podcast. I'm Dan Bernstein, along with Jason Bernstein and our producer, Rick Camp. And I have to say, I'm a little surprised at the result that the Bulls gave us in the most recent game. We've got one typically miserable game and one surprising game to discuss, among other things. The Bulls right now, 23-26, still 10th in the East in the NBA. And the beat goes on. I think we got to start with the painful collapse first, when we were all saying it's happening again as it was happening.
It happened worse, though. They lost by 15 this time against a worse basketball team. I know the Pacers were without Halliburton, but LaMelo Ball couldn't make a shot. And you seriously had to accept a dagger from Mason Plumlee with a tween and then a left-handed jump shot. That's how that game ended after being up 8 at halftime.
Didn't he switch hands on his actual
last season because he missed so many free throws. They were like, you have to try lefty because it couldn't get any worse. And he's been, I don't know what the percentages are, but it's definitely better than it was. Yeah, that was horrendous. And we knew it was happening when DeMar was doing too much DeMar stuff. And I am going to stand by my case, regardless of what happened Friday night. I know he had a good game because he had 32-8.
Great game.
But I'm going to stand by it. The Bulls are better off without him, and I'm not going to let go of that opinion.
This was a really tough one to sit through, and it bothered me again that Billy Donovan, after the game, once again was really lucid and descriptive in understanding exactly what happened. And he says that this got away from us and the ball stopped. And I just want him to call a timeout and say, don't do this anymore. Sometimes it's almost as if he forgets he's the coach, that he sees what we're seeing. And it's like he's sitting with us watching it on television afterward when we can say, no, you know, tell him to stop. They have to listen to you. You're the guy that just signed the contract extension. So you're not going anywhere. Try to fix it as it's happening. It really hurt to watch. And one play was so emblematic of the Bulls when things are going wrong. And it was a fourth quarter, DeMar DeRozan wide open three. Top of the key, just a little bit off to the right wing. Wide open. And instead of taking it, he ran himself off the three to take up slack and take a contested two, which he missed, and they went back down the floor and got a three. And I just thought that, in a nutshell, that was the bad part of Bulls basketball this year.
I don't know if you know who J. Cole is. You probably do, right? Sure. You're not that old. Yeah, so he has this song called No Role Models with a Z instead of an S.
Because that's so...
Because it's edgy. But... Yep.
There's
a lyric that says, fool me one time, shame on you, fool me twice, can't put the blame on you. So, all right, Billy, if you're going to say after the horrible Pacers game, all this stuff about we can't stop the ball and we need to continue what we're doing in the first half, and then you do the exact same thing. So we're going to say shame on you for the first time. Fine. We'll give you that bypass, and then you do it again. You do the exact same thing. There's just no excuse for that. If you change something right after that first time that it happened, it shows that you're making progress, and that's what we want the Bulls to do, whether it's progress in rebuilding or progress toward being the sixth seed and losing in the first round. And
you paint such a rosy picture of their future.
Yep, I do. It's beautiful. It's everything an NBA fan wants in a future. But then it happens again. It's really hard to look at this team and think that there's any chance that within the next 5 years, they can really be something.
It was hard to see a team lose to a Charlotte team that at one point missed 18 consecutive three-pointers. I don't know that that's possible. I know there's some weird stats from that particular game. And by the way, if you hear odd noises in the background, we're dog sitting this week, and this dog talks
kind of.
Yeah, so there's all sorts of odd vocalizations going on. It sounds like outtakes from something in the Millennium Falcon with she's got a Chewbacca vibe going on. So if you do hear that and you wonder, no, we're not holding anybody captive in a pit in the basement here, but it's just Maggie, right, Maggie? Yes. Okay, so that after that game, we lamented everything and we did what we do and we threw up our hands and we say, what is wrong with this team? And I think we thought that going into Orlando, they didn't have a chance in hell because of what we've seen all year.
And, they had a chance. We thought that all because Jonathan Isaac is coming back. He's going to do what he's going to do. And
they didn't have Banchero before, and usually right, Wendell Carter's awesome against them.
Yeah, Terrence Ross didn't play, which is interesting because I like Terrence Ross. But Cole Anthony's pretty good, and so is the Wagner brothers, man. They're scary for years to come. They're like a taller version of the Raptors because if I go down their roster, when you go through guys that are like 6'9 to 7 feet that can move, it's Wendell Carter, Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, Mo Wagner, Jonathan Isaac, Bol Bol, and Mo Bamba, who didn't play.
I wonder if they're trying to trade Ross or Bamba, and that's why they didn't play.
They just signed Bamba, though. But that's seven guys that can really move at a very tall height. And that's where the NBA is moving. That's what's going to happen when Wembanyama comes into the league. I think we might see 16 more of those guys come out the next year. I don't know if they're going to be quite as good because of the balance of height and skill that Wembanyama has. But the Bulls held their own against that team. And
more than held their own. They won every quarter. This is only the third time all year that they've won every quarter of a basketball game. And yet they almost blew the 25-point lead, but they didn't. It looked like some of the same things were happening again, and then they were able to stave it off. But boy, in this box score is just insane.
Yeah.
They shot 60%.
Yeah. DeRozan, Levine both had 32, and then Vooch added 23, 13, and 6. Patrick had 16 and 6 on 7-11 shooting, which is and he had a plus 14. I mean, that's what we want to see out of him. And that's why I want to keep Patrick Williams on the roster, because I think he can be one of those athletic wings that can do everything. We were talking earlier about OG and Anobi, and anybody on that Magic team or anybody on that Raptors team. Just an athletic wing that can defend many multiple positions and can handle the ball. That we haven't seen too much of yet because it seems like he turns the ball over every time, but there's potential. He does have some guard skills. I'm still just disappointed in Io, man. He had 3 points and 4 rebounds and 1 assist.
Kobe White was terrible too. And actually, even though Goran Dragic only shot it okay, all of his shots were threes, which I like, and he made 2 of them, but he stuffed the stat sheet otherwise. I mean, the guy had 4 rebounds and 5 assists.
He had a minus 6, though.
Yeah, but 7 points in 12 minutes. I mean, that mattered for them. They needed everybody to shoot like they did. There was one moment, I don't know if you caught it, and I'm not quite sure how to interpret it, but Zach LaVine drives the lane, draws defenders, and he kicks it over into the right corner to Patrick Williams. Williams is wide open. So the defender comes to close out. Instead of taking the shot, Williams passes to Vucevic, who hits a 3. So the outcome was fine. It was an extra pass, but Zach's body language, I didn't know whether to laugh or not, because first I'm laughing because Zach was like, come on, Patrick, that's your shot. Take that shot. And then I thought about it again. Maybe he's mad because he doesn't get the assist now. That once Patrick decides to pass up the open shot, now Patrick gets an assist and Zach doesn't. So I think if I'm thinking it's...
I think it's the latter.
You think it's because he's selfish? Or do you think it's the former that he just wanted him to take it?
I would hope it's the former. I would rather him say, come on, Pat, make that shot, because that's what you have to do. That's your role right now. But I think he would be the type of guy to say that give me my assist because I want to stuff the stat sheet. There are players like that, and I don't blame you. They want their stats to look good. I'm not going to lie. Whenever I play hockey and they miss a shot on goal after I make a save, I get pretty upset too. So I can't say I'm not guilty when it comes to wanting to stuff the stats. But when it's a star player talking to a guy who is young and he a guy that he wants to mentor, maybe not as much as DeRozan does, which, as we all know, I have a very strong opinion about. But if Zach is mentoring Patrick and he's telling him to take that, that'd be great. And
I hope that's
I hope that's the case as well. I don't know if it is though, and I don't think so. I don't think so.
We're burying the lead.
I would hope so.
I think we're burying the lead of this game for the Bulls.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. DeMar DeRozan was 5 for 5 from 3-point range. I'll say it again. Know that with everything we've been talking about on this show, DeMar DeRozan was 5 for 5 from 3-point range.
He only took 9 twos.
And he had 8 assists.
Has he been listening to the show?
Is that progress? Is that good? Is the idea that, I mean, just taking, I mean, the not, five. I'm just right, happy he like, took the, let like alone it, making them. I'm just glad he took them.
Right. We would expect him to make 1 or 2 of those.
Fine.
And not even 2, because there's, I wouldn't expect him to be a 40% 3-point shooter.
Make but, 1.5 of them. That's fine. Right. So our producer, Rick Camp, said that there are some, there's an interesting statistical trivia quirk in that night for DeMar.
You mentioned DeRozan goes 5 for 5. I'm not expecting you to get an exact date or anything. Okay. When's the last time DeMar DeRozan made 5 3-pointers in a game?
Oy.
It would have to be, there was 1 year in Toronto when he shot a bunch of them. I'll say 2018.
You nailed it. That last season in Toronto, because all the Toronto media and all the Toronto everybody was saying, for the love of God, shoot some threes. He shot 3.6 per game on average.
Wow. That seems like a lot for him.
Well, the next year when he went to San Antonio, he averaged 0.6 per game. So February 2nd, 2018, in Portland, he had 35 points. He went 6 of 10 from 3 in that game. Now the other thing, since then, since that date, February 2nd, 2018, I used a number just to get some sort of sample size here. How many times has DeMar DeRozan attempted 6 3-pointers in a game? So we're saying essentially the last month and a half of his Toronto tenure and the 5 years since, the 3 in San Antonio and the year and change with the Bulls.
How many times has he attempted six threes? Okay, I'll say twice.
4 times in his career.
Once.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Why wouldn't you look at that as a revelation?
Well, here's the thing with DeMar. If you look at his box scores generally, or his game logs, when he shoots his most threes generally has been the beginning of the season after the All-Star break. Why? Because there's time off, yep. And people are getting at him more about it. This is all just, you know, me just saying this. However, it's kind of been a thing over the course of his career.
Interesting.
It's kind of too bad, because I'm sure the pressure has been on him. That's Rick Camp, by the way, our esteemed producer. I'm sure it's been on him his whole career. He likes taking contested twos.
Yeah. And I just want to say this. The dog pushed open the door to the room that I'm in.
Yes.
And it was closed. And just she pushed it open and just walked in. And now she is right next to my microphone. And she's really cute. And now she's looking under the bed for stuff. So hopefully she does not screw anything up. She's leaving the room actually right now.
I see her.
Okay. Yeah. But that is very depressing about that. Oh, I don't want to. DeMar depressing threes. I don't know, but
I know your headline mind is thinking I can't. That is amazing that he did it in 2018 and only, you said, one other time.
That's crazy.
That's wild. That is absolutely wild. Now, while we've talked over these games, there were six. He took 6 or more threes 18 times in that year, 2017-2018. I wonder what he didn't like about it.
Well, hold on. I'm going to see what his percentages were.
Even if it's a slightly lower, the production's going to be a 31.
But what if he took more, he would make more, because maybe it's just a confidence thing?
I don't know.
I really don't know. So 2018.
That should have been it. That should have been a revelation. This is what I am now. All-star
in 2018. His 3-point percentage was 31.
Yes. And he took 6 or more 18 times. So somebody got to. Someone coached him. Somebody understood what was going on and tried to do something about it. And I guess it worked well enough.
He took 2.7 per year in 2014, which is when he was an all-star. So both years where he took the most threes of his career, he was an all-star. Last year, he took 1.9, which is the third most he's taken in his career per game. and he was obviously an all-star. Fourth most was 2016. He was an all-star. And fifth most was 2017. And he was an all-star. So the 5 years, he's been a five-time all-star. The 5 years where he took the most in three-pointers per game in his career, he has been an all-star in all of those years. So when he takes more threes, he is more likely to be an all-star.
It correlates at the very least. I don't know if it's causality, right, but it certainly correlates to him being an all-star.
That's kind of alarming. So maybe DeMar, let me not call him out like that. That would be inappropriate. I would like him to shoot more threes, and I think it could help both his numbers and the team.
That was very professionally handled, and I think you did a nice job deciding to do it more nicely than you could otherwise have done.
Yes, that was my un-Dan Bernstein like quality.
Why I gotta catch a stray? I was just complimenting you.
Because you're my dad.
Fine. I'm trying to be nice, then you go out of your way to not be nice. Fair enough.
Correct.
The Alex Caruso trade market, we can only hope right now is heating up. And there's a couple things here. On the one hand, there is a report that I saw on Yahoo. It was Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports, where he said, apparently he said in his podcast, that the Bulls would want two first-round picks in a trade for Alex Caruso. Now, before we get into that, which, first of all, yeah, you pick your jaw up off the floor. But Joe Cowley of the Sun-Times is told that Caruso is, quote-unquote, basically untouchable because of how important he is for the Bulls. One source told Cowley, quote, he's the culture. And my thought is, no, he's not. You'd love for him to be. Maybe last year he was a little bit when you also had Lonzo Ball, but he's just not. Yeah, ideally, he is. In a perfect world, he is, and everybody plays like that and has that kind of defensive awareness and understanding of the value of possessions and all of it. But two first-round picks? Come on.
I'm taking that in a heartbeat, and I don't care if it's a contender doing that. I mean, right now, if Golden State were to do that in the position that they're in, that could be like the 19th overall pick or something if they stay on this trend. I don't think they will because, I mean, great teams are going to be great teams, and I still think they're a great team. When you have Stephen Curry, things are always going to be looking up. But say they do keep on this trend of just being above 500 and they're a lower seed in the West, and even if they're in the play and they have a chance to lose, mm-hmm. So like that could be a lottery pick this year. And yeah, this, I'm pretty sure this draft class is pretty good. So I don't see why you don't do that. I think that the teams that I saw that were most interested were the Warriors and the Knicks. And I don't care who it is. If they're willing to give up two first round picks for Alex Caruso, I am doing that right away.
And I do. I'm thankful for what he's meant to the Bulls, and I certainly appreciate everything that he does.
But, right. I love him.
That's a move you got to make.
However, he can't shoot, which I think they need more than his defense.
And he's also turnover prone.
And injury prone. But I don't want to hate too much on the guy because he's been fantastic. And what he's meant for the team, especially last season, it was really fun to watch him last year, and it still has been this year, even though it hasn't seemed as meaningful because they're not playing as well. At this point last year, this is when DeRozan was going on his Wilt Chamberlain run and mm-hmm. first seed in the East. I don't know how that happened, and it was crazy, but I think sixth seed last year was appropriate, and I thought maybe the same thing again this year. I knew they weren't going to be any better because they said in the offseason, let's address shooting and rim protecting, and oh, let's just sign Goran Dragic and Andre Drummond. And one of whom has been sitting recently just with coach's decision, not even hurt. So it's pretty frustrating. I kind of just went from talking about Alex Caruso to my Bulls therapy session about talking about my status as a fan, but
that's what
that's kind of where we are. That's where we are right now.
Right? I mean, they make us do it because they get us excited for a little bit, and then
they drop off.
And I think these 13 episodes of Organizations Win Championships have been, in large part, if people have been paying close attention, it's functioned as kind of a therapy session. And, you know, speaking of injuries and therapy physically, the Tribune's Julia Poe reported, and it's about the way that this is worded here, and I get it, that the Bulls are considering the whether or not it's time to shut down Lonzo Ball, which seems obvious because he's no closer to playing. But this is my question, and this is what I'm trying to figure out. If they shut him down, to accomplish what? You already had surgery, recovery, rehabilitation that failed. And they tried to ramp him up, and he was too hurt, and he had no range of motion, and he was too hurt. So they did another surgery. And now they've had recovery and rehabilitation. And he's hurt, and he can't jump, and he's in pain, and he can't play. So if they shut him down now, I'd love to know from their doctors and their athletic trainers and their therapists, to what end? Shut him down to do what?
Right. We don't know, because you said it almost as soon as the season started with Lonzo that it reminded you of Brandon Roy, and it was the same sort of injury. I mean, not as severe.
We don't know. We know it's knee. That's all we know.
And let's say it is, and we know what happened to him. And obviously, we know what happens to good Bulls point guards and knees, and it sucks, because that type of player is exactly who they're missing right now, is a 3-point shooter who can defend 1 through 3, 1 through 4.
Yeah, and I'm not allowed to go to the bathroom. This is pass. We know that, but we and everybody
we know he's exactly what they need right now.
Yeah, and no one's really even. I think most.
Although, how many more games does he win this team? And say the season restarted and he was fully healthy, what's their record? Like, if he were to play all the games so far,
well, he doesn't play all. Here's the thing: he doesn't play all the games. Even
okay, misses seven. Let's say he misses seven. Like, how many more wins do they have?
I think they probably avoid some of these horrible losses. Maybe five better.
He can give you 14 points on efficient 3-point shooting, as well as, you know, 6 assists and 2 steals.
I think that's a really good question. That really actually imagining if they had a reasonable version of him, how much would they bet?
Right, because last season he was great in that first half, and he matters.
Yeah, but I promised not to do this. I swore not to do this.
I didn't. So I don't care. I never made you do it. I'm just I'm speaking my mind about it.
I guess you'd have to also look at the effect on the rotation. It's not just the minutes that he's getting. That means you're not overextending Io. That means you can pick your spots with Caruso. It would change a lot as far as the load on everybody else and the matchups with everybody else. But I can't go there. See, I started out by being we're reconciling the fact that he's not coming back. He's not playing this year. I'd be shocked if he's ready for next year.
Me too.
I really would.
On the trajectory that he's been going for a while. Or trajectory he's been, on the trajectory he's been on, I don't know how to phrase it, but he
it doesn't look like he's going to play. A reasonable person would look at everything that's happened and would not believe that he's coming back to play anytime soon until there's other news, until there's any reason to think otherwise.
Yeah.
The upcoming games for the Bulls: Clippers tomorrow. These are all home. They got 4 in a row at home. Clippers, Hornets Thursday, Blazers Saturday, Spurs Monday.
I expect them to win 2 of those games. I think they'll beat the Hornets. And I think they'll beat San Antonio. I don't see why they shouldn't. However, they have a history of losing to bad teams and beating good teams. But I don't see how they're going to be able to defend the Trailblazers with their two-headed monster with Damian Lillard and Anthony Simons. They also have Yusuf Nurkic, who is a walking double-double, former Bulls draft pick, actually. And the Clippers are the Clippers. When you have star power like that, and two of the best two-way players in recent years, one of whom who is a two-time finals MVP. I don't know what you're going to do against that team, but I think they should beat the Hornets and they should beat the Spurs. That's what I expect to happen.
I always like to know with the Clippers when they get here. I wonder
why the Clippers.
I don't know, because they've had a history of some clunkers when they're in Chicago an extra day. That was,
I don't know.
I mean, that they're not the only team, but sometimes if they it's early in the week. I don't know.
I don't care. I don't care if they're hungover. I still think they'll win.
There it is. Let's go now to the organization's Win Championships College Showdown.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Let the record show, last week I finally had a day. Finally. I believe it was my first 3-for-3.
Mm-hmm. It was.
That's all I get.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Our records in the college showdown, Jason, is 31-5. I am now 16-18-2. I was awarded another tie.
Okay. That wasn't last week.
No, I was 3-0 last week. No, yeah. Okay. All right, so who goes first?
You fire away.
I will fire away. So these are current NBA players, players currently on rosters. Knicks guard Quentin Grimes.
He went to Houston.
He did. New Orleans forward Naji Marshall.
Ooh, that's a good name. Did he go to... No, he didn't go to Bama. Shit. Oh, crap. Oops. Am I allowed?
Yeah.
Am I allowed?
Yes, it's a podcast.
Colorado?
No.
Where?
Xavier.
Okay.
All right. Okay. And lastly, Thunder forward Jeremiah Robinson Earl.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he went to Nova.
Yes, he did.
Villanova.
All right, you got
that two. It sounds like a song. Shit! Oh crap! or just an Irish guy's name with apostrophe crap.
It's not a compliment. All right, you fire away.
Or a cereal.
Rick said, or a terrible cereal.
Yeah. All right, let's go with journeyman forward Tim Thomas.
Tim Thomas. Interestingly enough, he also went to, wait, Tim, it was a Bull, an expensive point, Bull. Yeah. Did he go to Villanova?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Yeah, the reason why I pulled that name was because I was watching a Kobe story about how when Tim Thomas was the number one player in the country in high school, and Kobe just annihilated him because of him being the number one player in the country. Sure. And so,
Villanova, all right.
Let's go with Seattle Supersonics and Cleveland Cavalier center Michael Cage.
Oh, shoot. Jerry Curl. Michael Cage was awesome.
Whenever you go, oh, he's awesome. He played for this. You don't know who it is.
No, I love Michael Cage. I don't know where he played college. He looks like he went to Texas A&M.
He went to San Diego State.
Okay.
And last but not least, former Bulls forward, Dave Greenwood.
David Greenwood, number two overall pick out of UCLA.
Yes.
He was a great college player. Boy, what a bum-ass pro, though. Man. Wasn't that
he averaged like 12 points? He averaged 12 points in his career or something.
Wasn't that the Magic Johnson draft? Didn't they lose out? Because Bird and Magic were not taken at the same time. I'm pretty sure that was after the 79 Final Four. And the Bulls were bad, and they ended up...
Playing career was 1980 to 1991.
Yep, and they ended up with David Damn Greenwood.
Over his career, he averaged, like, per game, 10-8-2 on 48% from the field. Yeah.
Okay.
77% from the line. His rookie year, he averaged 16 points.
Something just didn't stick in that regard.
Maybe he's a terrible player. His first 5 years in the league, he averaged above 10 points, and then he did it one more time as a Spur in 1987.
Okay, good for him. I guess I sorry, David Greenwood.
That's not a terrible player.
Sorry,
he won a title in 1990.
I apologize for underrating David Greenwood.
I think he accepts your apology. Yes.
Fair enough. All right, now, if you like this podcast, like it, rate it, review it, subscribe to it, be a part of our OWC family. That is episode 13. Thanks to Rick Camp and thanks to Maggie the dog for not making, for not making too much noise and bothering us. So appreciate it. We'll talk after another few Bulls games.